Good.
Well, let's take the book of Acts, chapter 22. Mr. Dan did an excellent job of chapter 22, 1 to 6. And I listened to most of it, thought about the Hebrew and when it began and different things and so on. And who was the first one? Was it Adam and Eve and so on, different things. So let's begin. He stopped in verse 6. Let's begin verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's read those three verses together. Those that are listening to us, welcome to our service. Give us a call if you wish at 856-261-9018. Or call us on or have an email. Email is questions at BibleForTodayBFTBC.org. Questions at BFTBC.org. All right, Acts 22, let's read verses 6, 7, and 8 together. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there was shown from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Why verse number 6? Who's talking here?
Paul.
Paul. Is this the first time he's told about his conversion?
In front of this group of Jews.
But in the scriptures, it's the first time.
Chapter 9 is the first.
Chapter 9 is the first. And what's the date? Is that to stop at 9 and 22?
26. But I'm not sure he's talking about it at 9 or just happening.
I think it's just happening.
Well, I guess I should have said the account. The account is here. The account of his conversion is in chapter 9, also 26. So, he is the one that is talking. Where was he making his journey to? In verse
Damascus.
6. To Damascus. That's the capital of what country?
Syria.
Yeah, Bill.
Isn't this actually Luke's account?
Oh, yes. This is Luke's account.
Okay.
But it's the testimony of Paul in the Luke's account. That's the testimony of Paul.
I think Paul and Luke and Paul were together.
Yes, on the missionary journey, that's right.
So
were.
Luke is just re-recording.
Well, he probably wasn't on the stairs with him.
No, probably not. As it says in chapter 21 and verse 40, you asked different people that question last time. Some of us got the answer, some of them didn't. But some were listening, some weren't, but that's fine. We missed Eddie and Joanne tonight.
Yeah.
They were contributing as well, as best as they could. So he made his journey to Damascus. Nigh to Damascus. What's nigh mean?
Near.
Near. All right. Near. What time of day was it?
Noon.
About noon. What's true at noon as far as the heat?
The sun is above.
It's very hot and the sun is directly above. And what happened in verse 26 that was unusual?
A great light from heaven.
Great light from heaven. Now, do you think that great light from heaven was lighter, more bright than the sun? Was the sun more bright than the light?
The light from heaven.
That's a miraculous light, wasn't it? It was divine light. It was a miracle.
It
wasn't just a human light. You can't make it. In fact, I don't think human lights can be stronger or brighter than the sun, although maybe they can through this spectrum of different things. But this was, Anna.
I was just thinking about the atomic bomb and wondering if that was an instance of being brighter than the sun.
Well, it could be too, that's right. Mm-hmm. But this is a very important thing. A light greater. Shown from heaven, a great light round about me. Now, what does that mean?
Surrounding.
Right? It was a surrounding light. Then in verse 7, what was the result of this bright light?
He fell to the ground.
Now, could this verse number 6 be the basis of when people say he saw the light?
Well,
did Paul see the light?
Literally.
He literally saw the light. Yeah. And maybe that's where it
literal
comes from.
Literal light.
Right.
Maybe that's where it comes from. I don't know.
But I don't think they actually say literal light.
No, not literal, but it's a figurative
right.
To see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and come to Christ.
It says about the throne of God that there's a very, very bright light.
Yes. And in
surrounding
heaven,
the throne.
That's right. In Revelation, we finished Revelation today. What do they say about the sun and the moon in heaven?
There's no need.
No need. The Lamb will be the light there. Yeah, Anna.
Well, does it have to do with like the Shekinah glory?
Yes. And what does Shekinah mean in Hebrew? Shekinah. Presence. The very presence of God. Shekinah. Mm-hmm. So the presence of God shows the light, showing he's there. That's right. So he So then, what was the, what did I say the result of this bright light was? Verse 7, I think we already answered it, but
fell
to the ground. And what else? That's number one. What's number two?
And he heard a voice.
Heard a voice. Now notice he heard. Now that same English word is found in the verse below, verse 9. They heard. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. There are two different heards here. In English it's the same word, but a little different Greek word. All right. Heard a voice. What did the voice say?
Saul, what persecutest
thou me? What persecutest thou me? Now, the new versions, I don't know what they say. Do they oftentimes lop off things that are twice and double?
Yes.
Just make it one? I don't know what they do here.
Probably.
But, see, for instance, a lot of times when they say verily, verily, they say verily or truly, I say they lop it off. Why does God do things twice in Scripture?
Emphasis.
So people remember it.
That's right. People remember it.
Emphasis on the right syllable.
Emphasis on the right syllable. That's exactly right. And so this is one of the things. It shows that it's definitely going to happen. Whatever it's doubled up, what was it? So now, why persecutest thou? Why? Where was the Lord Jesus when he was talking to Saul here?
In heaven,
the right hand of the Father. When he says, "Why persecutest thou me?" How was it possible for Paul to persecute someone that was in heaven?
He's persecuting
the saints.
The saints. The Christians, those that were one with him.
Because they were part of the body of Christ.
Part of the body of Christ. Part of the body of Christ. That's interesting, isn't it? And so that shows a lot about what sort of the saved people here today should be representing the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Questions at Bible for Today here.
We're ambassadors.
Questions. Call it questions at bftbc.org or call us at 856-261-9018. Give us a call. I'd like to hear from you. Say hello. Or questions that you might have. So, persecutest thou me? And now, do all Christians represent rightly the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth?
No,
I'm sorry to say. And so, when people don't see Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul said in those verses, it's persecuting not the Lord, but was Paul a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, sure was.
Well, this is his beginning right here. His beginning, and later on we see he was faithful unto death. Of Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. What does persecute mean?
Pursue.
Oppress.
All right, oppress. And in the earlier verses that you took up last Thursday, what type of oppression did Paul go and undertake? What did he do?
He was arrested.
Okay. He was arrested, but
he was persecuting Christians.
Christians, verse 4.
Dragging them to prison.
That's right.
He martyred Stephen.
Under death, he was there ascending to the death of Stephen. The clothes were put down at his feet. His name was Saul at that time. And he persecuted thou me. And then in verse 8, what did Paul say to the Lord?
Who art thou, Lord?
Why did he ask that question, do you think?
And he didn't know.
Because he didn't know.
Yeah. But why did he say Lord?
Because he assumed that whoever was had a lot of power.
All right. And probably acknowledging that he was Lord and was Master. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him?
I'm Jesus of Nazareth,
whom thou persecutest. See, so persecute is mentioned in 7 and also verse 8. He persecuted. The Lord wanted to emphasize to Paul his past.
And verse 4, too.
And verse 4, that's good. Yeah,
that's
persecuted.
What Paul did,
that's right. Persecuted the way, this way, unto death. And so I think the Lord wanted to emphasize to him his past. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it wouldn't be his present, but it was his past, whom thou persecutest. All right, let's read verse number 9, 10, and 11 together. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. All right, verse 10. Verse 9. They that were with me, who would that be? Who was with Paul?
Luke.
Probably Luke.
No, in chapter 9.
Chapter 9, not chapter 9, not Luke. Yeah. They that were with me, of when he was going to Damascus.
No, it wasn't Barnabas either.
No, these
okay,
are
his,
his the men that were with him, just the people that were with him, his cohorts.
Right.
Other Jews, I guess.
He was on his way to what city?
Damascus.
To Damascus. So he had a retinue, a group of people that were with him, probably to persecute these Christians.
They might have helped catching him, I guess.
Maybe. And so they, now notice, it says they saw the light. So they realized there's a dazzling light. Did the light blind them as far as we know?
No.
But the light was zeroed in on Paul. Maybe just like a spot right through his eyes. It's a blinding.
But they were afraid.
They were afraid. They saw the light, were afraid. There was a fearful thing. It was an unusual thing. It was a miraculous thing, wasn't it? It was from God himself. It was not a human, natural thing at all. Now it says they heard not the voice. As I said, they heard and heard, two English words, but different Greek words. In the first word, heard, I heard the voice, Paul heard the voice, and understood, in the sense of understood what he was saying. The other word for heard, in verse 9, I just heard a noise, but did not comprehend and understand. See? Mm-hmm. So that's the distinction here. So, because, you know, if a loud voice were coming out, you would think, well, they could understand the whole thing too, but the Lord Jesus apparently zeroed in on Paul's ears.
Right.
Not the other. They just tried to bumble noise, but they did not hear them get the message. He was directing it directly to Paul. One person. It's interesting, isn't it? Heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And in verse 10, what question did Paul ask?
What shall I do?
Now, we read in the earlier parts of this chapter, his training, what was his training like?
Gamaliel.
Was it thorough or just scattered?
He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Pharisee of the Pharisees in the book of Philippians. And this was a very, very strong teaching, wasn't it? Very strong learning. Wasn't it? But now, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Probably one of the Sanhedrin members. What's he about?
I just wondered where Gamaliel was. Not in here.
Yes, Gamaliel is verse 3. Brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. We were
David always said he was prayed at the feet of Gamaliel.
Our son David.
He always said
he was in Acts, what, chapter 5 or something?
Gamaliel, maybe.
Oh. Yeah, she read it last week. I'm trying
to
remember.
Oh, alright.
It's right here, verse 3.
4.
Acts,
talks about.
Oh, no, it was 534.
Oh, okay.
What does it say in 534 of Acts?
Thereup one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people, and commanded to put forth the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, and he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, and were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this word be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God.
So that's interesting from Gamaliel. And here was Paul, one of his prime pupils, I'm sure. Very scholarly man Paul was, and had good grades, I'm sure, and did it well. Now, what's it?
Did they assign grades?
Well, I don't know. He had to pass something in order to go through whatever courses he was taking. And so Gamaliel knew very well, and he was very, he was very calm in saying, don't rush this. If it's bad, it'll go to naught, but if it's not bad, if it's of God, we shouldn't be against God. Very, very wise Gamaliel, wasn't he? Very wise, even though a Jew, yet a wise Jew.
He had his PhD.
PhD.
Common sense
as well. Now notice, and if Paul was so great as he was, if he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee as he was, remember the Sanhedrin, which he probably was, why would he ask a question like verse 10 says?
Because he recognized that he was Lord.
Recognized that he was Lord. And he recognized that
new experience for him.
He now has another master that he's going to submit to and to follow and to obey, to preach and to teach and to defend. And that's amazing. See, a lot of people that are so brainy and so exalted themselves and so egotistical, they don't want to ask any questions. What are they going to do? Ask anybody anything. They're going to do it themselves. But here, Paul realized he was a little one. The Lord Jesus Christ was the big one, the Master, the Lord. What shall I do, Lord? And notice he called him Lord. By the way, some of these new versions take that word out, Lord, the deity. Because why do you suppose they took out the word Lord?
Gnostics.
What did the Gnostics believe about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Just a human.
Wasn't virgin born. Didn't die on the cross himself, but some spirit died. And had to be saved himself, was lost. Mm-hmm. And so on. So they took off, see, because they didn't believe Jesus Christ was Lord. But what did the Lord say to him? Did he have something for Paul to do?
Go to Damascus.
Where was he originally headed?
Damascus.
Now, what's he going to do in Damascus? The same thing as he was headed to start with?
No.
He changed his whole purpose and goal, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But still go to Damascus.
It kind of makes you wonder, those people that went with him, what they were thinking.
Yes.
What are we doing?
Yes. Now, here's Paul. So they're going on ahead of it. And then in verse number 10, what did the Lord Jesus say is going to happen in Damascus?
Jesus told him to go to Damascus.
Yeah, but what's going to happen when he got there?
He would find out what he was supposed to do.
It'll be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now, what does appointed mean?
It's assigned.
Designed and assigned and purposed. So the Lord Jesus had a purpose for Paul right from the start, didn't he? Right from the start here. And now notice, when somebody wants to tell somebody something, I hope they listen. You think Paul would listen to what's being told to him? Well, these may be just commoners, you know, like the man that we see that we're going to tell him, Ananias. But it'll be told thee of all things which are appointed thee. In other words, you're going to take some orders. Now, I'm sure Paul was used to giving orders. But those that give orders, are they always easy to take orders? Not often, not always. The generals and the admirals and the higher-ups and the officers, they give, but many times it's very hard to take. So, Paul, it'll be told thee what things which are appointed for thee to do. Did you read 11 yet?
Yes.
Yeah, really, yes. When I could not see, what happened to Paul?
His eyes were affected.
He could not see. Why could he not see?
Just the brightness of the light.
Brightness, the glory of that light. And who was that light up there?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. If he had shined in the same dazzle while he was here upon earth, what might have happened?
Everyone would have died.
A lot of people would have died. What did Moses do at Mount Sinai when he came down?
He veiled his face.
Anna?
It's talks about glory. It was like almost a reference to the Shekinah.
Yes, that's glory. Very good, the Shekinah glory. A blazing glory. What did the Shekinah glory do in the wilderness?
Another fire.
Provided
by night.
The light.
Fire by night.
They could follow.
By day.
So they could follow. And a cloud by day. It was a leading, guiding light, wasn't it? And so when we see the light of the world is Jesus, we sing that little chorus and so on. And it says in Scripture that He's the light. The light of every man that cometh into the world. Yes, fine.
I'm trying to remember the Shekinah glory. I think my mother told me, but I may have this wrong, that Adam and Eve, you know, they were naked, but they were clothed in the Shekinah glory of God.
That's what your mom taught, and that's
I
a possibility.
That's what she taught.
In other words, the glory surrounded them, so they didn't have to have any clothes. See, it was a surrounding glory, a veil.
And then when they sinned, that all went away.
The light long went away.
And then that's when they knew they were naked.
Right. Now, some people have criticized the word Shekinah glory. They've criticized that. I don't know all the details, but I read that several times a year or so ago.
Why?
I don't know why, but that's a good word. They say Shekinah glory is not real, but if we realize the Hebrew root Shekinah means to dwell, the presence of God is there. Mm-hmm. That's in the glory of His presence. That's what the Shekinah glory was. So I don't see any problem with it, but a lot of people are arguing about this Shekinah glory that Anna brought up tonight. I think it's a good term.
Sure.
I don't think we should use it, see? I think we should use it. So then, what shall I do in verse 10? Could not see for the glory of that light. Now, what happened in verse 11 as well? When he was blind, had to be led by the hand. Who led him?
The people that
and were with him. And did they understand the Lord Jesus' voice to them?
Mm-hmm.
No, they heard sound, but they did not understand, did not hear in that sense. So did they get to Jerusalem, to Damascus?
Yes.
Came into Damascus.
They probably didn't know what was going on though.
No, they wondered, wait a minute, we're bound to round up the Christians and put them in prison and kill them, whatever. Now here's Paul going, led by the hand. Do you suppose he told them anything? He might have, he might not have, who knows.
They knew him before.
Yeah,
well,
they knew
him. Wasn't he with them when the...
They knew the initial mission, but now is the same mission that he started out with?
No, it's changed.
Questions at BFTBC, questions at BFTBC.org or 856-261. 9018, give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. That's Tammy.
If he wouldn't have been blinded, it kind of makes you wonder if it would have been so easy for him to just go and do the Lord's will. I mean, because all those people would have been, okay, you know, if all of a sudden he just said he was going to do something else. But now he's virtually incapacitated.
Right.
So he can't do anything but what the Lord wants him to.
But we don't know specifically, but Paul Agostinelli knows, what does blindness do to a person? You mentioned a little bit, but...
Well, it's hard
prevents
to,
vision.
Prevents vision.
It's hard to have your orientation.
Orientation? When you come into the church, you don't know where the chairs are, different things. It's like if you shut your eyes. So he was incapacitated totally. He was strong, he was able to walk.
Well,
they had to lead him by the hand, see? Mm-hmm. Yvonne?
Well...
Didn't have a dog, a guide dog, did he? Led by the hand. Yvonne?
I don't know if blind people will call themselves incapacitated. When they get accustomed to where they are, they know where they are.
These are the senses.
Yeah. Oh, right, but Paul was blinded like that. So everything changed immediately.
Yes,
so it was much different.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Anna.
Right.
I just was answering about
because people, like it, you know, they don't, as soon as they become blind or if they're born blind, I mean, they're born blind, maybe it's different than if they're actually blind. But like, it takes time to learn how to use the other senses in ways to, like, okay, I hear footsteps, they're getting closer, or...
Mm-hmm. In other words, they do know some things, that's true, but they're not fully equipped to live in this world, to do the things they normally would do. To see the stars, to see the moon, to see everything, and see their friends. They're incapacitated in a certain sense, but they have other features, that's for sure. Yvonne?
I think this is right. When Paul was born, he wasn't blind. He was a premature baby.
Paul Agostinelli, not Paul Apostle.
Yeah, he was premature. And
Paul Apostle wasn't either.
something like that. And so he was put in, I don't know if it's oxygen or whatever, and he got overdosed, and that's what caused blindness.
That's what he told you.
And that's what happened to a lot of babies that were premature. They would, in his time, sort of sad.
It is sad. It really is sad. The blindness, yes, Tammy.
Like Fanny Crosby wasn't born blind either.
No. The doctor did something.
Another Paul, Dr. Reno.
Oh, yes, Paul Reno.
Yeah, I remember talking to his wife, and she said there are compensations, you know, so she recognized that even though he couldn't see as he once did, he had other abilities that perhaps were heightened because of those incapacities. So,
That's interesting. Dr. Williams emailed me today and said that the book, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians book, is proofs are coming, the book itself, ahead of time. Usually it takes 4 or 5 weeks, but this was unusual. The book hasn't come, but at least the proofs have arrived. And he mentioned also that he received 2 books by Pastor Reno.
Mm.
So Pastor Reno probably is writing some things. He's going to be publishing some books. That's interesting, isn't it? Speaking of Brother Reno.
Pastor Reno writes books. He's published before, I guess.
I think he has, yes. Mm. So it would be good to see that. All right, so let's read then verse number 12, 13, and 14. Did we read that already? We haven't read that, have we?
Not yet.
Okay, let's read 12, 13, and 14. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will, and see the just one, and that shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard.
Oh, I guess that was...
That's extra, 12, 3, 4, okay, that's all right. We'll sneak it in a little bit. So verse 12, what was the name of the man that's going to help him now?
Ananias.
Ananias, okay. Ananias, what was the nature of that man?
He was a Christian.
Yes, now, that man, how do we know he was a Christian?
We later see that.
Jewish. All right. A devout man, he called him Brother Saul. So, if he were just a Jew, it's amazing how he would call Paul a brother. It's amazing how the Lord would use him to help Paul in this ministry, isn't it?
He knew the word too.
Knew the word, that's right. So, Ananias, a devout man. Devout meaning what again?
Godly.
Fierce God.
Godly and, what is it?
Fierce God.
Fierce God, absolutely. According to the law, in other words, the law, what law is that?
The law of Moses.
Law of Moses.
The Torah.
Having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there. So he was well respected of the Jews, but he also apparently knew the Lord. At least he was very... The Lord used this man, whether he's a Jew or a Christian, he used him.
It seems like later it does say he was a Christian.
Yeah.
Doesn't it say that? It was earlier, because it was actually at the time... Yeah, I'm
earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
In chapter 9, huh? What have you, chapter 9?
Yeah.
There's a certain disciple at Damascus.
Yes.
Named Ananias, and to him said the Lord anyway.
Oh, that's good. So
the reason he's saying it this way is because he's talking to his brethren, the Jews.
Right.
Yes.
And he's not talking to Christians.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's talking about how he's a devout man that obeys the law and things so that the Jews will accept the testimony there.
But he was a Christian. That's good. So chapter 9 tells that. All right. So having a good report of the Jews which dwelt there. Where did he dwell? In Damascus. All right. Then in verse 13, he came unto me. Who came unto him? So that's one big sentence, isn't it? One big sentence.
Ananias.
Ananias, verse 12, came unto me and stood. How did Paul know he stood?
I guess.
When he opened his eyes.
All right. Well, a little later, he said unto him.
Brother Saul, receive thy sight. So.
That's right. So.
Is he still blind here?
Until the end of verse 13, he received his sight.
He possibly could hear.
He could hear where his voice was.
He could hear where his voice was.
Right.
If the voice was high or low.
That's right.
In front of him, if he was standing.
He stood. And actually, when he received his sight, he probably was still standing.
He could have touched him, too.
Could have touched him.
In verse 17 of Acts 9, it says, Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him. So if he was standing when he put his hands on him, he would know which direction he's coming from.
Right. So he stood and said, what did he say to Paul or Saul?
Receive thy sight.
Brother Saul.
Is he a Christian? Receive thy sight. Now, who gave that power to Ananias?
The Lord.
The Lord had to give that power. Mm-hmm. Now, is that power with us today? Mm-hmm. The special healing powers? Do some teachers teach that?
Yes.
Some evangelists teach that?
Some do.
Some charismatics and,
but we don't.
And Pentecostal? We don't. Okay. When do we believe that the healing powers and other special sign gifts ended?
At the end of the scripture.
The end of the scripture.
At the end of the apostolic age.
When the canon closed, about 90, 180 in that area, 1996, it stopped. And what scriptures teach us that that's the case, that it is fast?
1 Corinthians 13.
There's a whole 3 or 4 verses right there that show very clearly certain things ceased, stopped, came to an end. And people argue about that, don't they? They just fight and argue about it.
Do they ever?
Yeah. But receive thy sight. Did he receive his sight in verse 13?
Yes. I looked upon
him. Did it take a long time?
The same hour I looked upon him.
The same hour I looked upon him.
It took a while.
It might have taken a long time.
But it wasn't two or three days.
No. Wasn't
2 or 3 hours even. Yvonne?
I think it says came unto me and stood.
The same hour.
See,
same hour. It was 1 o'clock. By the end of 1 o'clock, that was it.
So
2 o'clock?
60 minutes.
60 minutes. Yvonne?
It says came unto me and stood. So is he still standing, this man, Ananias? I mean, he was standing. Where was that verse?
Well, in verse 13, he stood, and Paul received...
Before that, when we discussed it about him standing.
Well, he was... This is it right here. He stood, yeah. And so he looked upon him, so I'm sure he was standing when he said received, standing when he looked at him, so he was still standing. And we read 14 of it. And what did Ananias say to Saul at this point?
God of our fathers hath chosen.
Who would be the God of our fathers? What is that a reference to?
God the Father.
And who are the fathers?
The whole Abraham, Isaac,
the Jews.
Jacob.
The Jews, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those early fathers, the patriarchs.
So he must have been a Jew as well.
Oh, yes.
Ananias.
Ananias, that's right.
Yeah.
And as it says, brought up in the law, remember it says in that verse there, having a good report of all the Jews. So he was a Jewish extraction, but he came to the Lord, was saved, and evidently from chapter 9. And God our Father hath chosen thee. What does that mean, chosen?
Selected.
That's a special task.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did Peter and the other apostles select him?
Mm-hmm.
Like they did Matthias?
No.
See, it's the Lord Jesus chose him.
Just like he chose the other.
The other 11 he chose.
Yeah, I think that Matthias and all were chosen by the disciples and not by the Lord.
Not
it doesn't
by the Lord.
Say anything about
and
them.
Some people fight tooth and toenails if we don't say Matthias was it. But we read in Revelation this morning, finishing up the whole Bible. Now we'll go back to Genesis tomorrow. But we read very clearly there were 12 apostles and the names are right on the so we'll know at that time
foundation
of the temple. Who the names are. We know if it's Paul or Matthias or something else. Yes.
Dr. Bragg down in Trinity said that I had a whole thing, almost a thesis about the unique apostleship of Paul.
Oh, really?
Unique
Trinity,
apostleship.
Trinity, which where is that?
Trinity College in Clearwater Falls.
Oh, Clearwater. Oh, I see. It's interesting. So he was, the noise was, the chosen thee.
He said in... Can I read this?
Yes, go ahead.
9:15.
Sure.
But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
Very
interesting.
Good.
And the children of Israel.
And the children of Israel. He was to do both. And he started with the children of Israel, but then when they rejected him, what did he say?
I go to the Gentiles. And then he's back here now again.
He's back here again. That's right. So he had a dual mission. But what about Peter? What was his basic mission?
To the Jews,
that's right.
And he stayed in Jerusalem.
What's it, Anna?
He was the first to go to the
first
Gentiles.
First to go to the Gentiles. That's right. Went to the Gentiles first and then to the Jews. That's right. Yes, Dave?
Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. Peter stayed basically in Jerusalem.
Yes, basically.
You mean he wasn't the first pope?
No, I don't think so. was he married?
Yes.
Peter's wife's mother, so must have had a... If
she
had a wife's mother,
died, but we don't know.
And he would have had a mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
That's a shame.
I'm sure she's dead now.
I'm just kidding.
And then, speaking of the Pope, I noticed.
I didn't hear what you said, Mr. Warren.
He said it's a shame that he had a mother-in-law. That's what he said. He's just joking about it. Some mother-in-laws are not as good as other mother-in-laws. Anyway, we're talking about the Pope. He wasn't the Pope, of course. I just read this yesterday, what the Pope said about those that go to heaven. He says, atheists will go to heaven. Nobody has to believe in anything. They go right to heaven. That's a papal announcement. What a horrible apostate that guy is.
Oh, man.
Horrible. The whole Roman Catholic whole church.
But worst Pope of all time.
Yes, he is. He's a Jesuit. He's a socialist, communist. He's brought up in a socialist land. You know, where is it? What is it? Argentina?
Argentina.
Argentina. and just wants to...
And he puts down and rejects Jesus.
Rejects Jesus, that's right. Yes, Bill.
The Pope has assumed leadership pretty much in the one world religion.
Yes.
Which the emerging church is part of it too.
That's right.
As well as other apostate unions. And, so the Pope speaks with what he thinks is authority.
Yes, that's right.
But it's really not.
Now somebody argued, I was reading a book just today, and technically the Pope is not the authority in the Roman Catholic Church unless
he speaks
things of doctrine and so on, but not of government, so on. He's out of his. But this guy not only has doctrine, but also all kinds of social policies as well, which has nothing to do with what he's supposed to do as a real ex cathedra and infallibility, see. But anyway, now notice also, God of our fathers, chosen thee, what two things, three things did he choose him and told him about his choice in verse 14?
No.
First one, knowing his will. How do we today know God's will?
Through the Word.
The Word of God. That's exactly right. And does every Christian, do you think, born again, saved Christian, always want to know God's will?
They should.
They should, but do they always? Want all the Christians that you know of?
Have ups and downs.
Up to that, but if they want to know God's will, not reading God's Word, what does that show to you? If God's will is in His Word, and they're not reading His Word,
they're looking for a sign.
Looking for some signs? Yeah, Bill?
Yeah, they're not serious. They're probably not really saved.
Is it important that we know God's will?
Yes.
Yes. It's one of the purposes the Lord Jesus saved and called and chose Paul for a mission, to know his will. And what did the Lord Jesus do to Paul to teach him his will?
Taught him for 3 years.
3 years, where?
That was in
desert.
Arabia.
In the desert, right in the desert place. How long did the Lord Jesus teach his other disciples, other apostles?
Three years.
That's right, 3 years. So he was taught, this was a one-on-one. A lot of people say, you're no good as a teacher unless you have a huge class. Did the Lord Jesus worry about that?
No.
Just one-on-one, which is sometimes the very best. When you have a small group, it can really get through to our brains and our hearts and teach. So, first of all, know his will. And what else did he chose thee for?
See the just
one. Who's the just one?
Jesus
Christ.
In what way is he just?
Justified.
Without sin.
Without sin.
Holy, pure.
Holy, pure, sinless, spotless, Lamb of God. Righteous, absolutely. To see that one. Now, the other apostles saw the Lord Jesus. Some were more wayward than others. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Judas, rejected him. Peter, he had all kinds of problems. Different ones.
Thomas,
he didn't see. But he wants to see just like the other disciples. You see, one of the qualifications for the apostles was they'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Exactly.
So he saw him, and he was one of them. Mm-hmm. It's a good sign.
Exactly. Apostleship.
Unique apostleship is right. And what's the next thing that in verse 14 that Paul was told was important?
Hear the voice of his mouth.
Hear the voice of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Know his will, see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth.
Wow, did he hear the voice? What a privilege.
Yes.
What a privilege. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
One-on-one.
Was it?
One-on-one.
One-on-one, exactly right. And
boy, that's something else. That's 14.
Right. That's right. 14 is great, isn't it? We read 15, really. We read it. We already read it. So, and for thou, what's for me in this verse?
Because
thou shalt be what?
A witness.
What does it mean to be his witness? Whose witness
a
is
missionary.
His?
A missionary.
Whose witness is his?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. What is a witness again?
Missionary.
Missionary.
Martyr.
Someone who is observes something.
Observes something. Testifies to somebody else. Shows something. His witness. A witness. Unto how? What kind of people?
All men.
All.
Just the elect?
No. No, no, no.
All men.
No.
That's all means. Now this word man probably that's probably anthropos, it means all people. In other words,
right.
Men, human, you know,
exactly.
Men and women. Men and women, see.
Preacher.
So that's right. A witness to all men. What did the Lord Jesus in the Great Commission say while he was here on earth before he went back to heaven?
Go ye
therefore. Teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And in Mark, what did he say? Go ye
into all the world
and
preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
Every creature. Now, if you're a hyper-Calvinist, why waste your time with every creature? God's going to call them regardless.
Exactly.
Don't waste your time, waste your money.
Exactly. That's why a lot of Presbyterians, they don't have a good missionary.
They don't have a good missionary.
Program, because they don't believe it.
Right.
That even makes less sense, because if you don't know who the elect are, then you have to make sure you preach to everyone, so that way you can be sure that all the elect hear it.
Yes, that's possible, but if elect are automatic, why even bother? Yes, John.
I think Dr. McIntyre, the least Presbyterian, I think his church has always had a good missionary program.
I think he did. I don't know what's happened, but the problem with the Bible Presbyterian movement as a movement, it just didn't hold up. See, in this country, it hasn't held up. They have split after split after split. Mm-hmm. Over there in Korea, they split off in different ones. There's all kinds of splits.
In Singapore.
And I know when Dr. McIntyre was here, he had this ICCC. What does that mean?
International Council
of Churches.
Churches.
And in that council, over in the Far East, he had a member of the Communist Party in regard to that. In churches that are members of the Communist Party in regard to that. See, in other words, he wanted numbers. He didn't care about quality, see. And so the whole idea for the Bible Presbyterian movement and Carl McIntyre's ideas, numbers.
But that was the
ICCC. It was the ICCC. But even as a Bible Christian church, I think you've got some problems. They're not. Well, here's. Go ahead, Tammy.
Well, the board now, I think they're straddling. They're straddling churches that have not left the synod and churches that have left the synod. And the churches that have not left the synod, a lot of them are associating with the OPC, which is holding hands with the Roman Catholic Church.
Oh, so that's Presbyterian church holding hands with Presbyterian. With the Catholic Church.
Wow.
I talked to a Bible Presbyterian man one time, and I said to the man, I said, what about having local churches be the authority of all? Why have synods and what is the other thing?
Presbyteries.
And, you know, that's where you have unbelief creeping in simple, easy, see? Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. When you have local churches as the be-all end, they're the ones in charge, that's what it should be. But this Bible Presbyterian Church, very godly man, but he said, no, everything's fine, and so on and so forth. But that's where apostasy creeps in. When you have all kinds of bodies and so on. And that's the way the present churches, like the Presbyterian Church USA, it starts one way and then it creeps into the seminary. It's just a mad pastor thing. And some of these Baptist churches, although they're not independent completely because they're joined with other in council like the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, Conservative Baptist Churches, Southern Baptist Churches. They claim they're individual churches, but they got to toe the line of the whole group. And the apostasy can come in that way too.
Well, you know it.
Which is sad.
I know.
Anyhow.
Independent Baptist fellowships that are truly, I mean, they're in like other associations.
Yes.
But they ultimately...
They want you to toe the line if you're part of it.
Exactly.
So, you know, even if it's independent, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but to hear the voice, witness to all men, what are you to witness about? Two things. Two things.
Of what he had seen and heard.
What he's seen and what he's heard. Who did he see?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Witness primarily for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
A primary person were to tell others about
exactly
as our Savior. And what he heard. He was told to do some things, didn't he? You go into Damascus and you talk to me and I send you to the Gentiles and the Jews and preach my word. These are the things, what they're seeing and hurt. I'm going to stop right here at this verse, but do you have any other comments to pick this up, Lord willing, next Thursday? Any other comments or questions you might have? If not, let Brother David to close in a word of prayer. We appreciate it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your Word. We thank Thee that it's for us as much as Paul, and that we are to be witnesses for You in all the world, and to preach the gospel and to teach. And I pray that You would help us to fulfill that in our lives, Lord, that we might...